1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Got an email here. This is from someone named Maria Buttarama. Thank you very much, Maria. It says, how dare you insult Fatty Arbuckle? The guy was a comic genius and film legend. I'm now boycotting your show. You've crossed the line. You wouldn't even exist if it weren't for guys like Fatty Arbuckle. What's next? Lenny Bruce? Obviously, they're kidding.
Well, you never know.
I'm not interested in your opinion about anything. And then moving on to another little piece of email here, just so long as I've got, you know, access here. Bud's Babe of the Week. It's a question here from Jose Garcia. He says, Phil, what constitutes a girl being Bud's Babe of the Week? By the way, I was in an elevator with Catherine Harris while I was interning in D.C. It was like a freeway accident you keep staring at. Say hi to the 3rd Infantry Division. Thanks, Jose, Yuma, Arizona. Bud, what constitutes a Bud Babe of the Week?
Well, she gotta be hot. A woman that you'll fall in love with.
You're serious, right?
Yeah, I'm serious.
This week, Kathy Moriarty, and not even the hot Kathy Moriarty when she was in Raging Bull, the one that was in, like, the old one that was in that Analyze This. And then you had Loretta Lynn, and then you had, look, Catherine Harris ain't bad, but...
But what?
Well, the clown lips alone would frighten a man into a pillar of salt.
Yeah, you just don't get women.
Helen Mirren? And what's up with that fat one from the Dixie Chicks? And then you had, I don't know, man, you know, to me, to answer your question, Jose.
I can answer his question. He's got to be hot looking.
Bull crap. I think it's a woman that it would take a number of beers. You'd probably say, okay, but may I please have a case before we get going? I don't mean to be cruel. It's a terrible thing, but obviously that's what you're going for here, bud. And don't tell me that.
These are beautiful women.
Loretta Lynn. I'm not saying she ain't talented. Yeah, I know, man. I ain't seen her in a pair of jeans. Oh, boy. There is that one hot picture of Catherine Harris that keeps going around the internet, the one of her sitting on the horse. She's pretty foxy looking in that one. Ain't no clown lips there, man. Of course, who's looking at the face? Now, anyway, now, as long as I'm on the topic of women and lusting after them, a word about marriage. I kind of referenced this last hour, and I wanted to get to it because, again, the first biggest thing on the email tree was the Fatty Arbuckle bullcrap, which, oh, my God, come on. The guy, in any event, the guy was innocent, thank you. The second was, how are you and Maria? And we're doing fine. And let me just say that marriage is, yeah, come on. Are you kidding? You know, there's problems that will arise. Look, you know, you meet her, she's beautiful, you have tons and tons of sex, you have sex and you eat. And that's for like 6 months. Sex and food, food and sex. All that stuff you did to get to that point, working out, running, jogging, lifting weights, it's over, man. You found her, you got her. Now it's just straight sex and food. Sometimes you eat at home. Sometimes you go out and then you return back to the house, to the pad, to the crib, to wherever it is, to your loft, and you go at it again. Then you decide whether you love this person, and then now things begin to deepen and widen and all that other stuff. Don't be laughing at the terms deepen and widen either, bud, okay?
All right.
And it becomes an issue of intimacy and getting to know them. They become a friend, and then you get to learn about them, and they learn about you. And you know, I'll tell you something about Phil Hendry that I haven't really talked too much about. When I was a kid, my folks got divorced. I was 12. And it wasn't pleasant. It's not good for kids. Divorce sucks for a kid. I'll tell you something right now. You may not believe this. I believe that if two people work it out and they hang together, I don't care if you fought like freaking Indians, man. If you were fighting like a couple of wild rabid skunks, if you work it out and you stay together, the kids don't give a crap if you're fighting so long as you're there. And what happened in my house when I was a kid, my parents fought. They fought morning, noon, and night. And then my old man left. And that was the worst part. So I made a kind of a little pledge to myself. And this is one that I made as a young boy. I said, I'm never going to put any kids of mine through this. If I ever have kids, I didn't even think in terms of stepkids. I figured back then stepkid was like Cinderella or something. I didn't give a crap, you know. Oh, yeah, make her scrub the floor. What do I care? If I ever have any kids of mine, I'm never going to put a kid like that through this. And, you know, so you get to a point where your marriage is kind of tough sledding, man. And all I could think about was that little pledge that this little kid made, you know, whatever it was, 40 years ago. And that keeps you kind of going, because I love my wife. I got no problem loving Maria. And we're friends, and we do well with each other. It's just that we have the personality conflicts that can really kill a marriage, man. I mean, some people, especially if you're younger, I think. I don't know, man. Like, I was a bachelor till I was 44. I had a lot of relationships with women. I lived with some of them. I beat up a few. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying. You know, all kinds of things. And you realize, look, you gotta, if you want this thing called marriage, if you want to really be with this person, you're going to have to do something a little bit more than just kind of get along on your good looks, man. You're going to have to get in there and kind of kick some ass a little bit, work a little bit. It ain't supposed to be like digging a ditch. Like every day, oh, I got to go out and dig the ditch. If you got a marriage like that, get out of it, man. Or work it out so it ain't like digging a ditch. But everybody gets to that point, see? So I said, well, I ain't going to do this to the kids, and there's no reason for Maria and I to be doing anything other than making our marriage work, and if it's tough going, sometimes it's tough going, who gives a crap? Some people worry about what other people think. Did you hear? They're having I hear he moved out. And, oh, you know what? Go gossip on somebody else's time, all right? You know, you don't know. If you see a couple, I got this theory. You can look at a couple smooching and kissing, and he's grabbing her ass or whatever. You don't know what's going on with them. Look at them. Aren't they happy? Really? How do you know? Sometimes I play a game. I'll sit in a restaurant, and I'll look around at all the people, and I'll wonder, okay, which one of them is this close to pulling a weapon and firing on the patrons? I do that. In other words, who is not the way they seem? Who is putting it on, and who is really who they are, and so on? And I bet you like half of the people you see that are walking around out there, couples, you know, whether they're man, woman, man, married or not, about half of them are not having a good time of it, but they're putting on the face for the world like they are. Oh, they're so happy. Uh-huh. You really? And I hear that they're having sex morning, noon, and night, and it's 40 years after they got married. Right. And maybe they are, but this dude is on the internet, man, pulling down the V like you wouldn't believe. Or what's that new stuff now? There's a new one. It starts with a C. Cialis. Oh, yeah, there's guys that swear by that now. Yeah, 40 years afterward, you're still going at it, man, like you just met her. The guy he's got a standing order at Cialis.com. Got 180 million pills in a filing cabinet somewhere. But in any event, the point is, you got kids, especially if you're a guy like me who's a stepdad, and I got involved with a woman who is married, who was obviously a mother, a single mother with four children. Well, that's a whole thing that you got to take very seriously. And not only that, but, you know, your learning curve, brother, has got to be pretty quick. But so I did what I did, and Maria did what she did, and we took this little bit of a time out to kind of reevaluate, man. But there was never, ever, ever any thought that I would leave this woman because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this is it for me. I don't know about anybody else. Some guys are 50, 60, 40, 30, whatever. They want to live the life of a bachelor. Cool. I did that.
Oh, well. Get a load of Hugh Hefner.
That's right, bud. You can laugh if you want, but I got around in my day.
Oh, really? Got any pictures?
Of what? You know, bud, this is something you wouldn't understand. When's the last time you were with a woman?
Last Tuesday.
Who was it?
Your mom.
My mom. You know, bud, I'll just go on past that comment. It's childish of you. My mom. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Can I have everyone's attention, please? Can I have everyone's attention, please? Thanks. Yeah, Charlie. Well, see if she's okay. I don't know. She was in the bathroom throwing up is all I know. Can I get everybody's attention? Look, I got a karaoke machine I rented here, and I want some people to get up and sing.
Oh, nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, well, what do you mean nobody wants to do that? Every time I bust out this machine...
You're always breaking out the karaoke.
Bob, no one wants to sing karaoke.
Well, we're going to sing karaoke. Now, that's all there is to it. We're going to sing, and I'm starting with you, Ed.
I'm not going to do it.
Yes, you are going to do it, because
what are you doing?
Yeah, now I got you. All right, that is tied to this car battery. You don't sing, guess what?
No!
What the hell are you doing? That's right. Didn't think I was serious, did you? Now, you, Bob, Clara.
I'm not going to do it.
You are? Go ahead, grab her.
No. That is a lawsuit.
A lawsuit? Well, we'll see if it's a lawsuit, because you're going to sing. I'm getting sick and tired of having these parties. I got a karaoke machine, and you got to get up and sing. Sing. Pick out a song you want to sing.
I don't want to sing anything.
I said to pick one out.
All right, Hungry Heart.
Hungry Heart. Okay, where is it? Susan? Where's Susan?
Making some more clam dip.
Clam dip? What happened to the crowd? They left. Nobody wants to get electrocuted. We'll get them all back in here. All right. Susan, honey. Go to cut 14. All right, Bob, you're going to sing Hungry Heart.
I want you to know, I think this is a suable offense.
Yeah, baby. Hit it. Sing.
Well, the boy Jack, I went out for a and I never came back. Like a river, it don't know where it's going. I took a bath.
That sucks.
And I still kept going. Everybody's got a hungry heart.
Please don't make me hungry heart. Everybody. That's good. All right, Claire, come here.
I'm not going to do it. I told you
that my husband's a lawyer. Your husband's a lawyer? Well, guess what? He's going to be married to a crispy critter. How about that? What's he going to do? He's going to sue Kellogg's? Pick out a song.
I don't want to.
I said pick one out. Now, come on.
I just called to say I love you.
Yeah, good. I called to say I love you. Susan, honey, where is she?
Getting more clam dip.
I don't want any more clam dip. I got 85 gallons of clam dip. Just look around in the kitchen for something that went bad and mix it with sour cream. There, you got clam dip. All right, go ahead. What happened to the music? The hell? Hold on for a minute. Who did that, Bud? He's drunk. Get somebody else on that, okay? All right, here. You ready?
Yes. I don't know the lyrics.
I don't care if you don't know the lyrics. Make them up.
I love you.
Oh, God, that was nice. Oh, you're enjoying it, huh?
La la dee dee.
You blow. Are you?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. Come here.
Well, I'm just here to fix the radiator.
I don't care. You're going to sing. I got nobody at these parties that want to sing. Pick out a song.
I really don't.
I said to pick out a song.
All right, say you, say me.
Say you, say me. What's your name anyway?
Tom.
Tom, okay.
I really don't. Just.
Now sing. I want you to sing good.
I can't really sing, but I'll try.
Say you, say me, say it for always. That's the way it's gonna be.
Everybody.
Wait a minute, what is this? Some kind of a.
Say you, hey!
I'm singing it good, ain't I?
Say me. Say it for always, baby. That's the way it's got to be.
Too black.
You are the sweetest thing what I ever seen in this whole.
All right. Anybody else?
That guy was pretty good. Why'd you zap him?
Because I felt like it, because I'm sadistic. That's why.
I don't know. How about this one? Big favorite of mine. It's called Just the Way You Are.
Oh, not that!
Yeah, come on. I like this song.
Don't go changing.
All right, everybody get out of here.
That it?
Yeah, that's it. Didn't you like it?
Okay.
Would have been better with a lyric sheet.
Just thought I'd throw it in there, man.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, boy, Dickman. When you go to those that's what she said jokes, you're really desperate, you jackass. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. By the way, I don't know whether or not you know this, bud, but your breath, whew, man, which reminds me, I've got a caller on the line. Is this Steve?
It is, Phil, yeah.
What happened?
Well, I went to an eye doctor today to have my eyes examined, and this guy had ass breath. And I want people to remember that when you go to a doctor and he is going to get up close, working close to your face, to please bring along some of those Listerine strips. Nothing else will do. The Listerine strips.
Now, what is the Listerine strip?
The Listerine strip is a small square strip that will dissolve on the tongue. Offer it to him before you go through what I went through today. It was something that it was so bad, it was depressing. And I don't think I've ever been depressed by someone's breath. I've been revolted by it. I've been put off by it. But to feel profound sadness. And
well, what was that? What was the sadness about?
Oh, I was sorry for him. I was sorry for me. I was sorry for the whole human race. That whatever it is we eat would create that kind of a stink. This was coming right out of the guy's gut. And
this was your eye doctor.
That is correct. I was getting an adjustment. My prescription had to be renewed because I'm getting a little more farsighted. And I went in there, sat down, and said, "Hi, how are you?" And it came. It's almost as if you, when you first open up the door to a house that's had a body in it for months, that's what came out.
You mean his breath smelled like a dead body?
That it was so bad. I'm a Caucasian, but I've got a darker tint, and I haven't been in the sun in weeks.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you that his breath was so bad it changed the color of my skin.
Good God.
I mean, my eyebrows, I have no eyebrows. I mean, when this happens, you've got to say something. And so I'm trying to let your audience know that the best thing is...
All right, the Listerine strips.
The Listerine strips. And for those doctors who may be listening, and I don't care whether... And the worst is a dentist with bad breath. You ever encountered that?
Well, nah, not really. I mean, most dentists, I think, are very aware.
Well, when a dentist has that stink breath, you're traveling in a rarefied air, if you know what I'm saying. So,
all right, Steve, thank you very much for that. And how was your vacation?
I went on vacation with my eye doctor, and that's what I'm saying, see?
All right, thanks, man. A dead body? That poor bastard. 1-800...
That it?
Shut up. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. My skin was darker and my eyebrows fell off. Friend, that's bad. Taking a look now at some of the news. Are we finally done with the tsunami? I think it would be really kind of nice to move on, maybe just a little tiny bit. It was bad. It sucked. Can we move on? If it happened to me, of course, I'd want to talk about it forever. But it was on the other side of the world, and what do we care? Laws that require federally funded clinics to notify parents if a minor wants to obtain prescription contraception may increase risky sexual behavior among teenagers, according to a new study. Oh, what are you talking about? Laws that require federally funded clinics to notify parents if a minor wants to obtain prescription contraception may increase risky sexual behavior among teenagers. Are you serious? All that means is they're letting the parents know something's going on with their minor kid. What, that's bad? Look... Get a few more good parents, and the kids won't worry about this, that, or anything else. This is what I'm talking about. Researchers found that 1 in 5 adolescent girls would not use contraception or would rely on withdrawal as a birth control method if they were required to notify their parents without seeking sexual health about seeking sexual health services. 1 in 5? All right, that's 25%. That ain't bad. Little sluts? No, I mean, it's fine. I'll take the risk. Why did I read that? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Email phs@philhendryshow.com and our web address www.philhendryshow.com. The email is always requests. I got to start going through it for like cool stuff, you know, people are saying, but everybody's like requesting a bit, or they're, you know, bitching about it, Fatty Arbuckle, or they're telling me, you know, they ask me how am I doing with Maria, and it's cool, or every now and again I hear from somebody who's, you know, an old friend or something, but that's good. That means I don't have to answer someone's irate. Although everybody wants to get mad, you know, they got to complain about something. So even if it's some benign comment about some old silent screen actor, they got to go nuts. Good God, I came in this morning and I had like, I don't know, 400 email and about half of them was Fatty freaking Arbuckle. Whatever. That's crazy, dude. Freeways are clearing up around here. Yes, they finally figured out how to keep the canyon roads open even if it rains. You know, we live in America, and last time I checked, it ain't Afghanistan. We have highways and byways. And in a city like Los Angeles, I'm going to get back on this thing because, forgive me, but somebody's got to say it. No one says this. Everybody talks about, you know, when it comes to this town, you guys that live elsewhere, nobody ever talks about stuff like this. All they want to talk about is jive politics, you know, immigration or what. I'm going to tell you what's bugging everybody. I'm living in a city here called L.A., and they shut down the canyon roads, and you can't get anywhere, man, because everybody gets up on the freeway, and it's bumper-to-bumper gridlock for 18 freaking hours. It rained here last week. Oh, no, not that. And as the result of it raining and flooding and whatever else, you can't go anywhere. Everything's shut. I mean, just closed right up. I had to get down. I told you the story. I had to get down to Beverly Hills, and I got to turn around on two canyon roads. And my wife says to me, you didn't know? Well, excuse me. I mean, I try to stay hooked into the traffic reports, but what? It's not exactly what I would call a bulletin. It's not Kennedy getting assassinated, man. It ain't the Challenger blowing up, and it ain't the World Trade Center. So I'm not staying hooked. Well, everyone knows the canyon roads get shut down. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's got to stop. It's like every time we get a blackout. Remember when I say, wow, a big piece of spit just flew from my mouth. I was so upset, bud.
Yeah, sorry. It almost hit me in the face.
Sorry. But it shows you how I feel about you. So it was like when the blackouts were happening, I asked the question, how is it in a modern society, lights are going off? How is it in a modern society, maybe we aren't that modern? Oh, we found out after that big blackout. When was that? That was like 2 years after 9/11. Everybody thought the terrorist hit again because it blacked out half of the world. And we found out, didn't we, on that day, just how modern we really are. We got an electrical, a utility delivery system that straight out of Thomas Edison designed it. They've got a guy named Carl sitting at a switch box somewhere near a dam in Cleveland. And he's got about three knuckles up one nostril, and he's sitting there and he's reading Popular Mechanics, scratching the back of a dog's neck, and feeding him a milk bone and going, yeah, that's it, puppy. There you go. That's daddy's little boy. And every now and again, what you really are, he's got the Popular Mechanics back, but inside is Swank. And he's got his hand on the switch. And if he doesn't throw the switch at the right time, the entire planet Earth goes dark. That's what we got going on in America. Not only part of the states, but Canada got blacked out, which, for them, not such a bad thing. They're blacked out anyway. Oh, and so anyway, I bring you up to the modern day. You know, modern day as in to the present day. Here we are, and I can't, you know, not just me, but everybody, we're all driving around with our thumbs up our rear ends. We don't know where how to get anywhere because, oh, they got to shut down the Canyon Road, man. And they got to, Caltrans is doing work here, and the freaking potholes. There was a time when the highways in California were the best in the world. Forget it now. Am I complaining? Yeah, I'm complaining about the good stuff to complain. This is what we got to complain about. By the way, have you heard there's a new cell phone? Now, this is the truth. The speaker is in your, what you can do is wrap a, it's a cell phone that you wrap around your wrist, much like a wristwatch. You're speaking into your wrist, and you're holding your finger to your ear and hearing the response through your finger, because what it's doing, anybody who ever held a glass up to a door to hear people talking in the next room, and we've all done that, it just vibrates through the material of the glass in the wall. Well, the same thing, the bone in your hands conducts the sound from your wrist into your finger, right? And I said jokingly, well, that's so much for hands-free driving, or hands-free cell phone.
Boy, did you blow that joke.
And I said, well, you know what you could do is you could get a fake hand and stick it up there. And then if the cop pulls you over for not, you know, using both hands to drive, you go, it's a fake hand, you dumb cop. See, I got both hands on the wheel, but you got the finger up your ear. Which is the way most people are anyway, driving around with a finger in their ear. It's kind of like back in the day when you used to get the fake baby seat and put a dummy doll in there, or you put a dummy next to you in the car lane. Yeah, but the cops are wise to that. Some guys got away with it for about 6 months. You get a dummy and put a fedora on its head. The dummy is dressed all wrong, you know. There you are just wearing your clothes, and so you get a dummy and put a bow tie on it, a plaid jacket, and a fedora. What are you taking your grandfather? It may pass as your grandfather, except the dummy looks like he's 26. Some freaking, well, so what would that mean? It's like your cousin from Poland? What 26-year-old guy's going to dress like that? Or some guys go out and get a dummy and put a hunting jacket on it with a big, you know, a Russian muff cap, and it's July. But the baby seat, that's the best. Get a baby seat and put a little doll in there, right? Better hope you don't get pulled over. In any event, so things are finally moving along around here. Not bad, not great, but not bad. But this is what happens when you've got no real, like every other city, was mentioned this last week, every other city has some kind of light rail. Do you know that I was in Salt Lake City, which is a great city? It's not a huge city. It certainly isn't a city that you would consider a town that would need rapid transit or light rail. They've got it. They built it for the Olympics. We had the Olympics here. Do you remember? Did we put any of that in? No, we didn't put that in. I remember just before the Olympics, everybody was sweating the gridlock. Just like keep your fingers crossed. That was our plan, folks, for the Olympics in 84. Cross your fingers and pray to the God of your parents' choice. That was our plan. And it just so happened that God smiled on us, and the traffic was great, and the weather was great, and everything worked out okay. They had trams. Well, that's cool. Once the Olympics ends, the trams go away. Where are those trams? Hell, I'd take a tram now. I don't care about anything, you know, anything other than those bloody freeways, which have completely and totally don't work anymore. The L.A. freeway system absolutely does not work. And that 405, which was built originally to get you, it was a nice piece of freeway that skirted the west side of Los Angeles. That was its whole purpose. It's just a way to kind of circumvent going through the city. It would take you up the coast if you're on your way up to San Francisco, down to San Diego. If you're going from the valley down to Long Beach, whatever. Now it becomes the major thoroughfare for every car going from out in Westlake, Thousand Oaks. People are using it to get to the airport from the 101 out Pasadena. The freaking thing has become, it's like Minority Report. Remember that with all those cars? I mean, they were cars that were like driving sideways, man. That's the 405. You're going sideways in the car. It doesn't matter. Just drive your car up on top of another guy's car. It's the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And there's no end in sight. And what are these geniuses doing? They're widening the freeways. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Why, yeah, that'll help. Let's add one more lane. widen the freeway out. They bitched about how much the Metro Rail cost. They couldn't get it done. They didn't know this. They didn't know this too much. The contracting, the worst, the biggest cluster freaking thing you ever saw in your life building that. And that is the, that's what this town needs more desperately than ever before. We are in big trouble out here, man. Believe me. If you're planning on moving out here, don't do it, dude. There's no more room on those freeways. There's no more room. I ain't kidding you. There used to be a rush hour out here. Now it's rush day. It ain't even rush day. It's rush week. It never ends. 2 o'clock in the morning. Me, am I going to get on the train? No, I want all the rest of you to do it so I can drive my car in comfort. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Mark was telling me here just a moment ago, if you have an automobile that you purchased within the last several years, you have a digital readout that will show you not only, for instance, how many miles are left to your tank of gas. It will also show you your average speed during the course of a day, the average speed that you traveled at. Now, most of us are traveling either to and from work, or if we're not doing that, we're traveling to and from errands of one kind or another. But let's just say you're a guy like me or a guy like Mark or like Chris, where we're getting on a freeway every day and we're leaving our house, kissing our wife, kissing our dog, kissing the kid, getting in the car and motoring off. And then we return home. Now, to get to Mark's house, he's got to go on the 405. Chris and I take the 101, which goes out west of Los Angeles, out to the western ring of suburbs on your way up to Ventura, Santa Barbara. Mark goes down to the South Bay down here, which is, you know, wherever the hell, Mark. Where do you live? In Torrance. Okay. Now, he's on a 405. Guess what his average speed is on the 405, at some point, five-lane freeway, coming to work in the morning?
25.
25! There's something basically wrong with that. And I'll tell you why. Couple in the fact that we've got soldiers, brave men and women, over in the Middle East right now, involved. Do you understand the reason why we're in the Middle East in the first place? And the only reason why we're in the Middle East is because of energy, oil. That's the only reason. It's got nothing to do. Look at, some people really crack me up. They go, and Bush lied because, you know, it's not about democracy. It's about, of course he lied. If I was the president, I'd lie too. You got to put the spin, baby. Don't you spin? Everybody knows that anybody got past the third grade. Anybody in America that got past the third grade understands what the game is, man. They know what it's about. We're over there because we got to somehow protect a source of oil. Now, you have these smug Americans who say the following. Well, I don't think a war for oil is right. Really? Do you drive? Well, and then they come up with this answer. I drive a Toyota. In other words, I don't use that much. Oh, come on. I mean, you know, like, we're all grown up. This is the biggest case, the biggest epidemic of sort of see no evil, speak no evil, just the three little monkeys with the hands over the mouth, the ears, and the eyes that I've ever seen in my life. Everybody thinks that everybody else is part of the problem, but they're not, right? We're all part of the problem. We drive. We drive a hell of a lot. We drive more than we have to. We drive more than we should. We continue to build cars that have no business being built. And as the result, we send over the greatest Americans we could possibly have, our soldiers, our men and women of the armed forces, who have to do battle with these creatures, these things. I mean, from what dimension are they from? Who are these individuals? They saw off heads. They run around, you know, with the cheesecloth over their faces as if they're like there's a bad smell in the air. Yeah, I'll tell you there's a bad smell. It's your armpit. you know, they have their automatic weapons. They pull people out of cars, blow their brains out. Who are these animals? And we got our young people over there fighting them. Why? Not because George Bush is a bad guy. Not because there's multi-million dollar corporate. I'll tell you why. Because from the 1930s forward, we have had a dependence upon this oil reserve over there that nobody seems to want to do anything about. And no, folks, Kerry wasn't going to do anything about it either. That guy, what was he going to do? He was going to put his finger in the chest of the Saudis and say, you better start playing ball. Yeah, you betcha. And now, because the American people like the drugs they use, like the drugs that we use, our gasoline consumption is unmitigated. It is unrestrained. Got guys down in Colombia right now, you know, at war with these guerrillas, these agro guerrillas. Why? Because we're trying to wipe out the coca plants. And why are we trying to wipe them out? Because we got a whole bunch of people up here, man, that are packing their freaking noses morning, noon, and night. If we didn't have a market for it, we wouldn't have a drug problem. It's as simple as that. Same thing with the oil. There's too many cars out there. I say me, Pelton, and Newman are the only ones allowed to drive. Agreed?
What about me?
You ride a motorcycle, that's okay. 1-800-449-8686. Back with more of this brilliant thinking in a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me just go very quickly through some email here. I'm a frequent listener and big fan. I was listening to the show on my way home from work tonight and so very much enjoyed the Catholic priest tsunami as baptism routine. Thank you for the great entertainment. Congrats on your success. Any chance of ever hearing some of the older Miami material? You were phenomenal with the wrong number phone calls down here. Bob in Fort Lauderdale. We used to get a lot of wrong numbers and put them on the air until I got in trouble. Of course, that doesn't keep people like Johnny B. or Ryan Seacrest or other people from putting cats on the air that don't know that they're, you know, on the air. But Phil Hendry's the guy that attracts all the heat. But that's okay. That is my lot in life. I will continue to be the point man and all that other crap. Here's one from Milo. Love your show and your Art Bell and goofing on that bizarro stuff. I used to drive professionally for a large L.A. limo company. I drove a town car, drove lots and lots of celebrities and people who think their stuff don't stink. Anyway, you were ranting about Los Angeles should fix the traffic and the car situation. The driver's union for taxis and limos is so strong they stop and halt all construction to improve our streets and commutes. Like the obvious, a train right to LAX, which has been talked about for decades. Anyway, thanks for listening, Milo. And I got a whole bunch more, but I don't have any time to read it. Here's one. Dear Phil.
No, I got a better one.
What?
A laptop can be yours for 50% off.
It's spam, you jackass.
Ow.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.